The following is a Namhat seminar given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on March 14, 1987 in Sridham, Mayapur, India.
Speaking in the beginning, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that according to your faith, the type of level of chanting you've developed, whether it's Shraddha or Nishtha, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhav, that according to that, it's like a different kind of money. He compared that Shraddha is like 1 cent, Nishtha is like 12 cents, Ruchi is like 25 cents. Ashakti is like 50 cents, and bhava is like one unit, rupee or dollar or pound or mark or whatever. And prema is like a Kruger end, gold coin. Like a Kruger end? Kruger end, yeah? You don't know Kruger end?
I don't know
Kruger end. There's a 1 ounce gold coin of South Africa. Very famous. So I was just meditating on that, how, and that sounds like just something really, you know, conceptual, but actually if you take it in a practical sense, you go in the market, anyone can buy anything. If you got 5 cents, you buy a candy bar. You have 1 cent, you buy a bubble gum. You have a dollar, then you can buy something more. So depending on how much money you have, at that time 1 cent was a lot. You know, it's, you know, now you'd have to multiply this by inflation, you know, that rather into like, when they say like Shraddha is 1 cent, that time you could buy a bag of rice for 1 cent. So you have to say it's like equal to maybe $100. And bhava is like equal to $10,000, like in terms of purchasing power. So the point is that, what this means, normally we just consider, right, someone in the temple, four regular principles, 16 rounds, everything. So they already say at the level of nishtha, at least. I mean, they're supposed to be at nishtha, they're supposed to be fixed, they're already doing all these things. So they're worth 25 cents by that. Actually, the Namhat Mitzvah means everyone is a prospective customer. Simply, we want to get them to chant Hare Krishna, engage them in Lord Chaitanya's movement. Now, Bhakti Raghavan didn't mention, sometimes people say, well, Namhat, Namhat, but what about book distribution? But actually, the Namhat, one of our Namhat distributed last year, the winning Namhat, how many pieces of literature, do you remember? Wasn't it 25,000 or something?
That was a pretty large amount. I mean, in Lakshmi points.
25,000 Lakshmi points.
More than that, 50,000.
50,000 Lakshmi points of books. One Namhat group in Dallas. It works about the same in terms of your in terms of books. Because so in this way, through that Namhat, you can have so many books being distributed. If you consider, I have one disciple who is the quality control engineer of Wimco. Wimco is the Swedish company that makes matches all over the world. And he's the one who checks that whether the coding on the match and all that is the proper, you know, some quality control. So he gets a salary about 1,500 rupees or 2,000 rupees a month, which is big for India, but, you know, Western standard is nothing. But for India, it's all right, medium, middle class. So he takes out of that 10% of his salary, and he buys books every month. And he has 6,000 laborers in his factory. And over a period of 2 years, buying 150 rupees worth of books. I told him you can distribute books. So he went to each member of his factory and gave him a free book. And then told him, if you want to donate something, you can give us something. And he had a little can. what this I'm giving you, but if you like to give something for buying more books, then you can give something. So it's mostly everybody gave. So that means that he would more or less cover the cost of the book, or about 75% of the cost of the book. That money, again, he put back next month, he'd buy 300 rupees worth of books. And this way it went up. So that in the end, he had given every member of the factory a book. And even the communist party leaders there, because in the factory in India you've got communists, congress, so many kinds. They were also saying, you're not going to give us a book? Where's our book? They're demanding. And so he gave them. So one person distributed in the year at least 6,000 pieces of literature. One man. So you consider in Namhat, we have got not only West Bengal but in other states, a total of 2,000 Namhat groups. Each group has an average of 50 people. 50 people mean 50 families. So 2,000 times 50 means 100,000 families. And in India, I say at least every family means at least 10 people. That means 1 million people. So even if you say 100,000 families, if each family distributed one piece of literature a year, there'd be 100,000 books. So when you talk about book distribution, the 20 devotees that go out, every day distributing 20 Bhagavad Gitas each, if they did that, 25 days a month, will not equal what Namhat can distribute once the thing is properly organized and working. So the point is that some people say, even like they told me one time, that Jayapataka Swami is Namhat in the brain. He's not a BBT man. He doesn't understand that for the future of BBT, Namhat is the biggest marketing that there is. Nityananda Prabhu was no fool. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was no fool. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was no fool. When they said that the fruit of book distribution comes to Namhat, Namhat is a very effective means of distributing books. Because if you can do it, even if you just tell every person distribute 5 books in a month, if you have 1,000 people, that's 5,000 books. And then as you do more books, more people join, it goes on expanding. So whether you look from book distribution, whether you look from Varnash, sometimes people say that Prabhupada never talked about Namhat. The point is, Prabhupada said, I did half the work. I built temples, I printed books, I published the books, I started distribution. The other half of the work you have to do, what is that? He said, Varnashram. The Varnashram preaching, Daiva Varnashram, organizing the people in a Krishna conscious manner according to their quality and nature of work. That only comes up. You cannot organize the mlechas in Varnashram. Varnashram means that there's already have to be people that believe in Vedic culture. There's no Varnashram for Javanas or Mlechas. Varnashram is for people, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. That means that they first have to become devotee. Then you can have Varnashram. Namhat is what makes the society devotee. Our temples were never meant to just be little, communes of 10, 15, 20, 100 devotees. And the rest of the world, we don't have any contact. They're meant to be centers. Prabhupada said, within 10 kilometers, no one should go hungry. They should be like the nerve center for the entire community. And he wanted that, like Mayapur, should deliver the whole West Bengal, whole India, and should have effect over the whole world. And different temples should have an effect. So the point is that actually, alright, Namhat, he may not have used that particular word, but in his preaching he authorized us directly, and it was only in his book that he was editor of that we got the actual word of Namhat. But it happens that that is the stage in which the next stage you can do is you can, once you have the whole world part of Namhat, then you can organize them as Varnashram. Unless they're part of the Namhat, how are you going to organize them as Varnashram? How are you going to, unless you bring them to that level of believing in Krishna consciousness, Varnashram is not possible. Daiva Varnashram. So, in a broader sense, this is the mass marketing wing of our society, and this is actually what gives us the greatest stability and future than any other program. What was the quote that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said of all forms of preaching? Do you have that?
Yeah, in the future, the Namhat of all forms of preaching will become the most single and greatest type of preaching.
It'll eclipse all other types of preaching.
Eclipse all other types of preaching. So we hope that all of you will see that how book distribution, book publication, book distribution, and Namhat are all intricately related. Our temples, Prabhupada explained, they're the training centers for Namhat preaching. We bring people, we train them up, send them back, and let them practice in their home. Prabhupada personally told me in 1970, before sending me to India, I was walking with him on a morning walk with Radha Krishna. We used to go in Los Angeles around. I visited there for 2 months. Maybe 2 months or 1 month, I forget. But one morning walk, Prabhupada, we're just walking, and Prabhupada suddenly just turned and said to me, "Don't think that everyone's going to live in our temples. Don't think everyone's going to live in our temples. Our temples will be something like the churches are, where you have on the weekends, the people come there, but there'll be huge congregations, and the people will be practicing in their homes. They'll be offering their prasadam in their home. They'll be doing everything like that. But they'll be coming to the temple on special days, on weekends. It's not that everyone is going to live inside our temple." Then the Prabhupada turned and walked. And that stuck in my mind for 10 years, 7 years, in 1977, that I remembered that he said that. But before, I mean, just out of the sky blue, we didn't have any, at that time we were just opening temples. We, in 1970, we didn't have any idea about congregational preaching. The Prabhupada at that time said that, and then just before I left in 1977, then he told me, "Yes, you go and you preach to the people, the public, preach to the masses." So Prabhupada gave a lot of instructions to different people, and this was something over a period of 7 years that he'd been inspiring me, but maybe he didn't tell many other people, I don't know why, but Hari Suri told me, he gave some darshans on this in Gujarat and in Hyderabad for doing village preaching and preaching to the masses in India. And he told us in Vrindavan in 1977 that now I preach in all the cities. Now I want to go on a whole parikrama of India following the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I want to preach to the village people. They still have the culture in India. Let's unite them and bring them to the forefront. Let us teach them the nobility of working in the country, of working in the agriculture and dairy. You don't have to go and be a slave in a factory to have self-prestige or happiness. Then he said, "You get 5 matadors to go on the tour." But that was like already in October and November 77. And we were all afraid that Prabhupada is, very sick, how he can do. But he was saying, "No, I want to go." And then the thing was being planned, but then it never fructified because of, anyway, everyone knows. So the thing was, that's why we did this Padayatra, was also in the, because of his desire to go on that tour of Lord Chaitanya's route. But actually, that was just part of it, not just to visit the route. He wanted to begin the village preaching. So these are some of the highlights, as Maharaj said, practically speaking, such a big topic. It would have been nice, actually, to have a daily seminar. Maharaj could have had, because I was, not possible for me because I got the whole festival kind of on my head. But actually, Maharaj could have had a daily, and I could have attended off and on different other people. I can tell you that in South America, we started the Namhat preaching. And in South America, we have many Namhats, especially in Peru. We have a lot of Namhats formed there. And they have programs on Saturdays. People come sometimes, as many as 20, 25 people come for the Namhat program. And the people, the leaders of the Namhat, they took initiation now, and they're preaching to the other people. We have a whole program of 1 round, 4 rounds, 8 rounds, 16 round, gradual progression to help the people that are in the Namhat become a little more serious. But our program, if you even chant 1 round, that's all right, you're also part of the Namhat. Whether you got $1 or $100 or $1,000, whatever you want to spend for Krishna, we'll accept it. But according to how much they're spending, naturally we'll give them more attention. But since we started this program, at least in Bengal, practically speaking, a lot of the people, there's not so many bloops as such. I mean, if someone goes home, they go home and they start a Namhat. It's not that usually, and if someone joins in the Namhat, if they have to go home again, it's not that they stop their devotional service. So in that way, the casualties in terms of people stopping chanting or going back to material life is not so much because of the Namhat. Wherever the people have come from the Namhat, usually they don't leave. If they do leave, then they go back to their house, but they keep on chanting and performing their devotional activities. So in that way, it's also more secure for preaching. You don't lose devotees as such. They just shift in their place where they do their service, either in the village or in the temple. Most of our Namhat preachers now have come from the Namhat. Like Gora Chan, he originally was a Namhat member. Now he's one of our main Namhat preachers. and office administrator. Many temple devotees said, come, because when you, naturally, you have so many families, sometimes the parents send the son, so you go and be a devotee. They want to bloop the parents, send them back, say, why are you nonsense? Why are you leaving your service to Krishna? And we also had other ones where the parents take you to court, and that, you know, but I'm, you know, but from the Namhat, you do get parents who are so convinced, they have four or five children, they say, let one be a devotee, and then if a devotee wants to come back, their son, they get on their case, why are you, you're in Maya? Go back to Mayapur, go back to that temple. So any question?
I have a couple of questions. Suppose there are some initiated disciples who are not staying in the temple. Regular hours working outside. If they do some kind of preaching, and we as a temple, how are we to consider them? They are initiated. Should we consider them as namat, running some kind of namat or things like that? Or because we happen to relate to them in terms of supplying them books or other facilities for preaching. We interact with them. So, but they are initiated devotees. Maybe they, we made them initiated devotees. So, but in dealings for a long-term preaching, it is not that they just buy a book and say, and things like we have to supply them book on the DVT, on the DVT, so then they should be treated on par with the temple and give them book. Or they should be treated as non-optional.
That's up to the temple to decide the local policy, but if you have whether initiated or uninitiated people outside who are chanting, either naturally if there's a temple, sometime you engage them in temple service, that's one thing. If you don't, otherwise you can engage them in preaching to other people as a namhat. Namhat is the opportunity for people living outside to do preaching. The whole perfection of Kali Yuga, the Dharma, Yuga Dharma is Nama Sankirtan, Kali Kali Dharma Nama Sankirtan. So why should only the devotees in the temple have that nectar? Why shouldn't the devotees living outside also have that nectar? So the way that they can have the nectar is you make them a, you give them some responsibility within a Namhat structure, and then they can also do preaching once in a week or once in a whatever, in a period of once, say once in a week they can do, or once a day, whatever, depending on how much time they have. So that will depend on the individual and if you have a Namhat program. Hare Krishna.
Yeah,
you see, our president of Siliguri, Kolatip, he actually came from Namhat, isn't it, originally? Yeah. Actually, his father was a guru. Now he's late. He's late. He's left the body, his world. But his father had 2,000 disciples as a Kula guru. One of the old-fashioned Diksha Guru. You see, that's what I mean. You know, Shastra, his father was a Diksha Guru. Then his father came, bowed down to me, then the disciple said that our father has respected you as a father, so what does that make us? You see, but then the Shastra said that sometimes Diksha and Shiksha Guru were separate. But now, like Prabhupada said, I'm both a Diksha and Shiksha Guru for my disciple. It's not that the Diksha Guru cannot also be the Shiksha Guru. Anyway, so his father had like 2,000 disciples like that. So he told them, you all be part of Namhat. Now he's a temple president in our temple in Siliguri.
The question is, the Namhat people, they want to preach in a particular place. So the people in India especially, there are so many parties, political, religious. So they may eagerly form a Sangha, but they are not, they really don't have any understanding of philosophy in terms of pure Krishna consciousness. They are maybe having Mayavadi philosophical ideas, etc. Then we form a Sangha, and how far they will actually represent us?
That's why when we organize in Namhat in India, that's why we have this Rama, is that because since, you see, you don't need such a, although maybe you do need, but anyway, you don't have such a big thing for our temples, because people are trained up and then they form a new temple, they're expected to conform to the ISKCON standard, whatever that is. But for the Namhat people, since they're not so trained up, so we have a Rama so that we can tell them that this is the rules, you have to follow this system. And normally, at least the Indian people, you see, in the West people don't like organization, they don't like any kind of organization. They're a bit shy against organized religion and so on. But in India, people like organization. They like rules. They like, because here everything is so disorganized. And if something's organized, they like it. Right? Even our organized government is like practically freeform. So when they see something is really organized and has a system, and that they feel more protected by that. So just so that there'd be a uniformity, and that you can say, all right, this is our rules. You should follow like this. So we made a Rama. This Rama is for all India. But because in each state, there's a different customs, different situations. So we have a bylaws, which can be changed state by state in the details of how it's practiced. So in the Rama, it states that what they have to do, and before they're registered, then they know that this is the basic thing they're supposed to do. It also states that we have no legal liability over their activities. They're not allowed. They're not ISKCON. They're a separate group recognized by ISKCON. So in this way, this is a kind of protection for us. Because say if a person is the ISKCON branch, they may take a debt, then the creditor will say, I gave them a loan because they're ISKCON. We get in trouble. Or they do something wrong, then they say, well, these people are ISKCON. So they're not ISKCON. They are in separate groups organized under the Namhat. They're recognized by ISKCON. If they do something which is improper, we take away their franchise. They're no longer allowed to use the Namhat name. So long they follow the rules, they can use the name.
Explain about the probationary then charter.
First you put them on a probationary membership for 6 months. See how a year, however long. When you see they're functioning properly, then you make them as a full member. So initially when you sign someone up, just to sign them up quick, they're probationary members. After you see that they're regularly functioning, they're doing properly, then you make them as a full member. Each day they're supposed to have, each time they meet, they're supposed to have a regular meeting. Meeting means that they do a kirtan, they read from Prabhupada's books, then they have some prasad distribution and close. Like that simple thing, or maybe some discussion. So in the beginning, if you personally go there and train them how to do the things, and if you and they read from Prabhupada's books, then where's the difficulty? That's Maharaj's point. That Namhat requires, it's not like you just, you know, make a Namhat and then go to sleep. You have to, it's like, you have to train them, you have to guide them, you have to build them up. Then only the thing, so that's what the problem we're facing in Eastern India is that here the Namhat has become so popular that we're having 2,000 Namhats that it's difficult for us to supervise all. So we have a whole Bhaktivinoda Thakur's different higher structure for supervising. But that structure itself, we have to we have to get people to train the people and to establish that structure. In other words, that Namhat members will supervise other Namhat members, and they'll supervise other Namhat, you know, kind of like the Lions or Boy Scouts, or I don't know, there's a lot of institutions that work that way. So the whole thing, though, is depending upon training, bringing them to the temple, having seminars, having training. The more that you train them, then they can train others. That's why it requires at least a dedicated person who can spend the time to visiting these places, training, and then when you have enough of them, then they're appointing someone to oversee the other groups, the group like that. It's a very demanding service. And when you go out and preach to these people, it's a direct preaching. It's not like just selling someone a book and then, you know, maybe sometime you just give them the book somehow or another and get the money. Or like making a life member and you just somehow get the donation saying we'll give you a ticket overseas or you can stay in our guest house or something or another. When you go out, they're going to ask so many philosophical questions, especially in India, especially in South India, you see. But even in North India, anywhere, they ask a lot of philosophical questions. They ask about, what about Ramakrishna, what about this one, what about Sai Baba, what about... You have to know all the philosophies. They'll ask you, what's the difference between Vishishta Dvaita, Dvaita Dvaita, Sudha Dvaita, Advaita, all the things. You have to know the philosophy. They'll ask you all kinds of questions. Because there you're sitting in their village, there's 20 people, 100 people, you give a class, at the end they all ask questions. So actually the preacher has to be more, to be a Namhat preacher is 10 times more demanding in terms of philosophical knowledge than any other preaching so far that I've come up with ISKCON, except for being like a GBC where you have to preach to the devotees in ISKCON. Or sannyasi, you know, where you're actually preaching to the devotees. Apart from that, in terms of preaching to the public, this is the most demanding of all the preaching I've ever come across. They'll ask very difficult questions. And it's not difficult, at least they ask questions. You have to know the philosophy. You can't just bluff them. Isn't that? Because you went did some also some preaching on your Namhat tour.
Yes.
What are some of the questions they asked?
They asked, said there were so many other groups that preaching in India, in Bengal, they are very strong establishment in the village. When we go, maybe we will pass with this kind of philosophy in that area. And we have rules, regulations, they will ask all these kinds of questions. We have to defeat them.
Most probably these groups who are already having Vivekananda Kendra, Ramakrishna Kendra, okay, you are also coming, because we'll make one more Sangha. It's called Namaka. They'll be the ones who come forward first.
Merge everything together.
Chatamata Tato Pati.
That's the toughest philosophy.
That's what happened in the school, college preaching from colleges. They already have some groups. The same people came forward. Okay, we'll have one of yours also.
No, but like for instance, it's not like everyone's, like for instance, I went on, you have to go on these tours. Sometimes if you go out on one of these and visit some of the places, you'll see. I went to Burnpur, near Asansol. This place is hell on earth. Burnpur. Is it burned out? This is right in the center of the town is a steel factory. And all day they burn steel. And they don't have any kind of ecological safeguard in India. Simply the soot is coming out and the worst dust. We parked our vehicle and just in 10 minutes the whole white van was covered with black dust. It's all like that, and the people are very, because of that, you can hear the whole town is vibrating with the steel factory. So the people are very tense like that. So I went there, and they almost beating the devotees and different things. You know, it was like the kids, you know, they're real like gundas, and we had to face a lot of problems. But then I talked to our nam, but that we handled it, you know, by showing a movie and everything, we quieted them all down. But then that Namhat secretary of that place, I remember he came to me. He was some Patanayak or something. He was had an Orient name, but they lived in Bengal for a long time. So he told me that we have the Namhat, and we have about 20 members, and we're having regular meeting. But most of the members are Ramakrishna and other group. Somehow we are going on, they're coming and participating, chanting everything. But gradually as we're reading Prabhupada's Gita, you know, Prabhupada, one by one, he starts to chop the philosophy of Ramakrishna and all these Mayavadi philosophies. So he said that some of them are starting to realize that what we are preaching is against their philosophy. So I don't know, some of them, in the end, they'll either have to be convinced and come on this side, or they'll have to break out. But I was very impressed that this guy had such a sharp understanding, although he's a new Namhat maybe at that time. Now he's old, I mean must be old but that was 4 or 5 years ago I went there. But that he had that much, he could already see. But here we have the people we're preaching, that either they'll come over to the Vaishnava side, otherwise by natural selection they're gonna get...
You're either with me or you're against me.
we don't directly say that, you know, Ramakrishna, this or that. We just go on with the preaching. But after a while, you know, either they have to get purified, otherwise automatically. So you find like this, that everywhere you go, just like when you go in a new country, automatically people come and join. You go in a new state, a new city, people come and join our movement. When you start this type of new type of preaching, there are also grihasthas and students and people out there ready to participate in this Krishna conscious movement on their stratum. Simply we have to go there and start preaching and they come out. And a lot of these people are very intelligent people that can... they can advance the Krishna conscious cause. Although, any other people have questions?
You said something very interesting. I mean, everything you said was pretty interesting. But for the Vanashram discussion, you mentioned that unless and until become devotees, they won't have an appreciation for the Vedic culture, which is necessary to make a Vanashram for these natures in the Yavanas. Now, there's a lot of talk in our society to make Vanashram, and I think we all understand that that we want to also engage the public in Vanashram gradually. So could you...
Prabhupada said that Vanashram was for the public,
yes,
not for the devotees.
Yes. So could you give some examples maybe how this Vanashram
these four divisions comes at one stage into the Namhata program. Because many devotees can't really imagine how that would ever come to pass.
Just like, for instance, we have one Namhata group in Gajan called Howrah, which Sudarshan, Prabhu Jishnamemi, and Bhakti Purushottam, we did a tour through there. Now, as an example, there's about, say, half a dozen families there or more. I forget how many families, but there's a number of families there who are all part of the Namhat. So they form their own kind of community where they are growing their food jointly, where some of them are doing business together. They formed a Gurukul and they send their children to the Gurukul. In other words, or because there's that maybe one-tenth of the village became devotees, so they created their own little community within the village. But Prabhupada said in the future what he wants is that a whole village should be made Krishna conscious. And one by one we make whole villages Krishna conscious. So this happens to the Namhat. Once if you have a village Krishna conscious, then you can organize that village by Varnashram. Once you have a certain number of people as Krishna conscious, who become Krishna conscious, then the next day you can organize them according to... Now in India, of course, they already have certain ideas about Varnashram. But say in the Western country where they don't have any idea, then you can train the people according to their Varna or Ashram. What is their duty? You're a Grihastha, this is your duty. You're working in this way, this is your duty. And so in this way, then they start to have an identity and they act according to that identity. Varnashram is to give them an identity so that they can serve in a way that they can be a part of a greater social order. So once, as even if you get one village as a Krishna conscious village, then you can organize it. Prabhupada said we want a Krishna conscious cities, states, countries. So Varnashram, you can only make a Varnashram when you have a certain number of people who are somewhat Krishna conscious. But full-time, 100% Krishna conscious, you're not going to get all of the people. Maybe only 1% or 1/10% will be fully four regular principles and 16 rounds. But you can get unlimited people to chant one round a day, to believe in the reincarnation, to believe in the principle. They may not follow it fully, but they may at least believe in it. And then, in this way, then you can organize them in a Varnashram system. Once you get them, that they accept the philosophy, and it's their goal that they want to practice the things.
One other aspect in relation to this also is that just like Prabhupada established ISKCON society mainly to train up the Brahmins who in the Varnashram are the head of the society, they give guidance. Similarly, we find in the Namhat preaching that those who become Namhat members, they are more Brahminically or Brahmin oriented. And that's very important, like in the villages, in the future, to set up the whole Varnashram system until you have, or unless you have, Brahminically inclined people, then you won't be able to establish the rest of it. So very naturally, just like Dattak Maharaj mentioned, in this particular village, even Gurukul can be set up through these Namhat Sanghas. So like this, Gurukul means, you're training the Brahmacharis. So you have your Brahmacharis, and then once proper training is there, then they'll become good Grihasthas, and then it'll just develop in that manner. So it's just a matter of expanding. If even a small group of people in the village are following the regulations, etc., then the more they increase, then it influences the rest of the village, and gradually the whole Varnashram principles can be
active Namhat people. Some of them, as you said, may become like the brahmanas for the village, for the area. So from brahmanas, it all goes down.
Yeah. Once you have your brahmanas, then automatically everything else
they will train the others. Anything else?
You pointed out. I was. In the West, we often have the problem that the Namhata leader gets in trouble with the other Namhatis because of women. Sometimes it's that you have this. Come into this, and then the women want their husband, so gives a lecture. Why always the husband of the other woman has to be the president, and there is a strife for superiority or for leadership. Do you have experience with that, and some ways how to deal with this conflict in I do not know. Concurrence, yes, this idea for concurrence.
We've organized the Namhat with two different possibilities. One is that we appoint whoever the higher authority is, they appoint someone to be the Namhat secretary who organizes the things. But they can rotate who gives the lecture. Apart from that, sometimes where there's where that's not possible, it's too complex, then the Namhat, we allow it to be democratic and they elect their people. And so then they can elect a president and a secretary. And the Namhat preacher goes there and just sees that they keep it Krishna conscious. So it's a little flexible, the Namhat, how it can be run. Just like in the Vedic village system, you had the alternative of going either democratic or could be also appointed by the king or his minister. But in Namhat, the idea is better rather than have one guy give some long lecture because they don't know much. We don't consider that normally the Namhat preacher may not. Better that each person speaks more like a kind of a round table where they make a reading from Prabhupada's books and then different people speak 5-10 minutes what their realization of that is. And then they discuss it like that. And then if they have any question, if they cannot answer it there, then they write it down and they send that into the Namhat headquarters and get the answer from the guru or from the Namhat director by letter or by personally when he goes there. And then this way, then there's a interaction which is important, as he mentioned. Or sometime you might, as like in the West, you could have a lecture series, Namhat type of lecture series, on video and send that out and then they can hear that and they can discuss it. In Namhat it can be a little more informal than in a temple where you have one person giving it. It can be a little more, you know, casual, informal.
You were speaking about Bhakti Shivaji before, and actually the system of Namahat is essential to increase Bhakti Shivaji. Because as long as we just maintain the books going in the streets or in shop to shop and said this should be single books or even 2 or 3 books together, we always have to be very limited how much we are going to do. Through the system, we are going to get people more interested, they are going to buy all the books, they are going to begin to give addresses, they are going to begin to also to personally phone or visit. We had cases in Marathon in some countries in the West that we go with friends to distribute books in its style, like members said. We go with friends distributing books, and they do the whole preaching. They just represent the movement. And they're very good preachers. And also for getting books and actually distributing preaching, because they're not engaged in some preaching, like Prashad distribution, book distribution. They begin to feel like boring or something.
That's the point, is that when you make a Namhat member, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
You have to engage him in some preaching activity.
Because for them, just meeting once a week or twice a week, and they get into politics after, unless they have the constant preaching going on. It's like a traditional situation. Unless you have constant preaching, you get into politics. So it's the same system that, I don't know, everyone has experience. And then they begin to distribute books. And not only distribute books, they also get goods free for the temple. Many of them own things, or know people that own things, so they get goods. Or they get good contacts that can help the movement. Some lawyers, or businessmen, or simply get the permission to do something they know somewhere, someone somewhere, and through them we get the permission to do things. So basically, it's like if you want to spend the movement, you need to go through this process. Because as long as we ourselves alone need to do everything, we are going to work on a very small time basis.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Bhakti Raga Maharaj ki. Bhakti Nao Thakur ki. Shri Prabhupada ki.